The park. I appreciate that. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take our Bibles and let's go to 1 Peter to start off with here. We won't stay in 1 Peter. We're going to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but we'll start off with 1 Peter. All right, 1 Peter chapter, I think I got myself on now, right? Okay. So we've got, you know, I was telling the men that, you know, we've got a new theme going this year, at the beginning of the year. About a month ago, I had, I'd just been praying about it. Lord laid it on my heart. And it's obviously not up there, okay? But, you know, we've had some setbacks here. The one who really helps me with that are my daughter, Hannah, and my wife, Sharon. They work with the printers, you know, and working with ideas and getting the exact picture that I want. So it hasn't happened, but maybe within the next several weeks, we'll have our new theme. We don't want that one to go away, though, okay? Pray without ceasing. We want to always be praying without ceasing, okay? But the one this year is going to, it's finish strong. Finish strong. That's the theme. And that comes from the verse that came to my mind was 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. We're not going to look at that today, but you know that verse. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And then I have what? I have kept the faith. Yeah. So, you know, that's the emphasis. That's the exhortation for me that I need, but every one of us, is that we want to go at this every day with the Lord's strength. Amen? Because otherwise, we'll utterly fail. And that's what I want to talk about today. Now, I'm going to start off here with 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll just read verses 3 and 4. Then we're going to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So you think about what a wonderful thing that we have. How wonderful is the love of Christ because of his abundant mercy that it tells us there and his death for us, that he gave his life willingly. And because of that wonderful resurrection, we have a hope, knowing that we have a living Savior. Amen. And then verse 4 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So because of all of this, because of what we have in Christ, we have been called to an inheritance that's incorruptible. All right, it cannot be tarnished in any way. It's undefiled, as it says there in verse 4. It never fades away. It fadeth not away. And it's there waiting in heaven for us. And if we get our eyes on that, our spiritual eyes on that, boy, that's motivating enough right there just to know that. Won't that be wonderful, right? It'll be great when we're in heaven one day. But you know, until we get to heaven and until we receive eventually our glorified body, we are going to have to learn how to live out each day. All right, we're going to have to learn how to live out each day. I think you already know that, so I'm not uttering something that you've never heard before. But we have to learn how to gain strength each and every day. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and by the way, did every one of you get one of these you know, little flyers, little handouts? Does anybody need one? Okay, it's renewed day by day. Okay, so I take it you all got one. All right, Brother Don took care of that for me. That's great. Okay, so now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll just kind of go to one verse here because this is where this verse is found, or this little saying, renewed day by day. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul was talking about the trials, the ministry, the attacks of the devil throughout this chapter, and how by God's strength, God strengthened him and quickened him and helped him to fight the battle, gave him the strength that he needed. And he says here something that is really eye-opening. And it says here in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not," All right, we faint not. We're not to fold up and pass out in this battle, in this race that we're in. He says, but though our outward man perish, because every one of us is experiencing that, this old body, this body is just getting older, it wears out. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's just a great thought right there, that the inward man is supposed to be renewed day by day. So the Apostle Paul brings something out here that's very beneficial for us if we intend to stay strong in the battle. All right, we're talking about strength. We're talking about strength for the battle. And with that, let's have a word of prayer. All right, Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for this Sunday school class. Lord, we pray for those that have been prayed for, that we pray that you just lift up a number of folks that are sick today and that have been sick these last week or two, and we pray that you bring them back to us. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together for church. Lord, what a blessing it is to fellowship with one another, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless this time as we look into your word, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to understand that you intend for us to be renewed day by day. You want us to be strong for the battle, for the challenges that we face from day to day. And would you help us to understand the nature of this battle? Sometimes we get caught up too much into the physical and fail to sometimes realize that we're in a spiritual battle. Would you help us as we go from day to day to be strong in the things of Christ? So we ask it now, and we ask that Christ would be glorified and lifted up. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me just read verses 8 through 18 just to kind of bring something, just to bring the whole package here to you. Verse 8, Paul, the Apostle Paul says this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now he's talking about the challenges of giving his life for Christ, of yielding to the Lord each and every day to serve him, looking unto the Lord for his strength and for his power. So he says on the one part, I experience death on a regular basis, because he talks about dying daily and death to self so that we might live more in the power of God, is what he's talking about here. So he says, we, in verse 13, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, Paul calls it just a light affliction. Even though he was going through some tumultuous times and his life was threatened on a regular basis, he looks at it as like, it's just a light affliction. It's going to be over before I even know it. That's how he was able to look ahead and realize, yeah, this isn't easy. He was imprisoned many times. And of course, you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and then you go into chapter 12 about all the things he'd been through. But he calls it a light affliction. And he says, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So he speaks about there again in verse 16, the importance of being renewed day by day. Listen, everything in this fallen life, where we live on a cursed earth because of the fall way back in the garden, nothing is set up to last forever. We know that. Everything needs upkeep, doesn't it? Yeah, everything needs to be maintained. Even we ourselves, we have to rest. We need to maintain ourselves. We need sustenance, you know. We need nutrition, and we need all of those things. That's why you see commercials for Relief Factor, and you see commercials for Qanol, turmeric and magnesium and Balance of Nature. Man, it just seems like there's a million Balance of Nature commercials out there. But what's all that for? It's right. It's to try to keep this body going and to strengthen it. If we're not renewed by the Lord, folks, on a regular basis, we are going to wear out, folks, in a heartbeat. We will wear out unless we have the Lord that strengthens us. So let me give you a few areas where we need to be renewed on a daily basis. And this is so important because if we'll get this down, it'll help us to be strong, spiritually speaking, to be able to get through this battle, to be able to get through it joyfully. And we want to, don't you want to be victorious? I want to be victorious. And believe me, I don't have this down, but as I stay to these things that the Lord has laid out, this is how we're able to stay strong each and every day and have this vibrancy that we want to have. The first thing is we need our fellowship renewed daily, and that's that first point on the outline. We need our fellowship renewed daily. Now, there's some lines here to fill in, and this first thing that I'll bring out is there's nothing better, all right, nothing better nor sweeter than to have fellowship with Christ. There's just nothing better than that. And I'll just finish up the statement here, the second sentence. It is so important to stay in His word and prayer. Okay? It is so important to stay in His word and in prayer. Now, these things are so vital. Now, 1 John chapter 1, if you're able to get there, I know you're writing some words down there, but 1 John chapter 1, the Apostle John is writing this epistle to some believers, and he speaks to them about the importance of having this fellowship with the Lord, of having this walk with Christ, this relationship. He says here in verses 1 through 4, that which was from the beginning, and he's talking about the Lord, which we have heard. We got to hear the Lord, John said. We were one of his disciples. He says, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. I mean, you remember John was the one that leaned on Jesus' breast, remember? Up in the upper room. John is many times called the apostle of love. Because when you read this epistle, you see that's a fitting name for him. And I think many times he just would embrace the Lord when he had an opportunity. He loved to be right close to the Lord. And spiritually speaking, that's where we ought to be. Amen? And so he says, we have looked upon him, and our hands have handled of the word of life. We got to be with him. We got to hear his words. We got to see the countenance of his face many times. We got to watch him in so many different places and watch how he worked with people and his love that he had for people. And verse 2 says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We got to see this, he said. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And he says this to these readers, and of course to us as well, because we get to read it, that ye also may have fellowship with us, with the fellowship that we have with the Lord, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. So John is saying, boy, it's so important that you have this sweet fellowship with the Lord. I can't get into your head or heart. You can't get into my head or heart. But we need to ask ourselves, where is my fellowship with the Lord? Do I have sweet fellowship with him? Do I have just times when it's just between him and I, and we just have this great discourse back and forth? You know, I don't hear the Lord audibly, but he speaks to me through his word and the Spirit of God inside of me. And as I just speak to the Lord and just try to spend as much time as I can just praising him, just trying to be thankful. Not always succeeding, but just trying to be thankful. Lord, look what you've done. Look, I think of those twin granddaughters. I'm just so blessed. I get to see their little faces. I have some other granddaughters and some other grandsons. I wish I could see them more often, but they're at a distance, so I don't get to see them. But these two little precious faces and watching them develop and grow and mature, you know, I mean, there's so many things to be thankful for. Amen? And that's such a big part. I'll just say that is a huge part for you and I, that if we'll learn how to just be thankful and praise the Lord, and then just determine to turn our life over to Him on a regular basis, you'll just begin to know more and more a deepness in your walk with Christ. It'll just become more and more special. It'll just become more and more intimate between you and the Lord. And that's, I hope that that's what you want, because that's what we have. That's what John is saying here to those readers. And then along with that, this next point there under the first point on the outline, along with that is the importance of continually confessing our sin. Of confessing our sin. That is so important that you and I learn to do that on a regular basis. For even as a Christian, obviously we know this, every one of us still continues to sin. You know, 1 John, we were just over in 1 John, but in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 and verse 8, we know these verses, we've heard them before, but I'll read them to you. He says, and they sound very similar, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. All right, so sometimes, and I'll just bring this up, this isn't part of the lesson, okay? Listen, we have an old nature and we sometimes fall to the old nature. Sometimes we operate out of the old nature. All it takes is just a bad moment, right? And we go there and our thoughts go really south and we start murmuring and complaining, and somebody does something on the road and you don't like it and you say, "You knucklehead." And you're like, "Sorry, Lord, forgive me." You know, we just go back there to that old nature. But just something that's said over here in verse 9 of chapter 3 of 1 John, if you're looking there, if you're still there in 1 John. And it says this, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." And some people look at that and go, that's a contradiction from verse chapter 1. Now it says here, it says we're going to sin in verses 8 and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And then verse 9 of chapter 3, and this is just real quick, what he's talking about here is in the new nature, is in the new man, because we have a new nature that cannot sin. And he's talking about that there. So just in case you're wondering and going, there's a discrepancy. What do we have? Well, we're not into that study right now, but just in case you look at that, it's like John changed from chapter 1 to chapter 3. No, it's just talking about the different natures. And sometimes we get into that old nature, but we're to operate out of the new nature. And when we operate out of the new nature, we won't sin, but how long do we stay there? I'm not seeing any response from anybody out there, but you know, we all go there, right? So listen, we all still sin. Carrying unconfessed sin is not a fun thing to do, right? You can relate to that. You all, you know, David had some great prayers of penitence. Psalm 51. I'll just read a few verses there. I do have Psalm 38 on the page there, and that's a good one as well. But I'll just turn to a different one just for a few verses as I'm watching my time. I've got enough time, I think, to get through this today. But in Psalm 51, this was after his sin with Bathsheba. This is when Nathan confronted him, and he says this, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Verse 1. "According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." And we can continue to go on. That's a great passage just to continue to read all that. That's a good passage to write down. David was just overwrought with guilt because of his sin. And he went to the Lord, and he knew the Lord would forgive him, but he said, my sin is ever before me. What I've done is a horrible thing. And you know, when we have unconfessed sin, now David was confessing it right there and getting his heart right, but when we have unconfessed sin, folks, it just weighs us down. It's just burdensome. Right? Would you admit that? Would you agree to that? It certainly is. When we have it, it's like when you move and trying to carry a dresser upstairs, and it's like it lasts like an eternity, or taking a piano. I've had to take a piano upstairs. I don't do it anymore, all right? Unless it's like a little tiny piano, okay? But, you know, keeping sin unconfessed in your heart and not getting it right is like, it's burdensome. And that's why it's important for us to get it right. Maybe there's something that needs to be gotten right here. I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe there's somebody that you need to get your heart right with. Maybe some sin that's unconfessed. Again, maybe a problem with someone. And you know, and it's bugging you. And I've been there before. And the Lord's laying it on your heart. Every time you pray, it's like the Lord puts that face right in front of you and says, what about this issue? You need to get your heart right with that person. You think, oh, that person wronged me in so many, yes, but what do I tell you to do? I tell you to forgive that person. Maybe you need to go and talk to them. And some of you are thinking, Pastor, could you get on to the next point, please? But it may be, and you know, the best thing you can do, and the thing that will free you up more than anything is to get everything right and not let any sin be unconfessed. Proverbs 28:13, that verse is right there. At the bottom of that point, that verse says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. It's a great verse, isn't it? I seem to see a lot of bitterness as I go around, more and more people that are bitter and people that have not gotten their hearts right. And that's where it comes from. It just starts to cascade into greater things. If you don't get it right, and then you start dealing with not just having some issue with a person, then bitterness starts to settle in. And then you're not even walking with the Lord. And then there's fearfulness and insecurities, and it just multiplies. Does anybody relate to any of this? Yeah, I think we all can. And we don't want to go there. I see that happening again to a number of people, and it knocks them right out of the race. And we don't want to be knocked out of the race. What does 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 say? It's so important for us that, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So important that we do that. All right, the second thing that we need to see renewed is we need to renew our minds toward the things of God. Our minds not only need to be renewed daily, okay, but they need to be renewed toward the things of God, more specifically speaking. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll just read. Brother Sherman, would you like to read those verses for us? Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You didn't remove the book of Romans, did you? Okay, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. Yes, thank you, brother. Yes, it's about just turning things over unto the Lord. We're to make our bodies a living sacrifice. Just yield unto God and turning things over unto him. Our minds need to be renewed on a daily basis, just as that second verse where it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many of you would be able to relate to when you first got saved and you went forward in your Christian life that you still struggled with a lot of the old thoughts, a lot of the old things that you did, right? But hopefully, as you yielded to the Lord more and more, that a lot of that began to go to the, you know, maybe to a lesser place or to where it wasn't as pronounced in your mind. You now started to replace those thoughts with the thoughts of the things of the Lord and what He's been doing in your life, or singing some hymns, and you've replaced a lot of those thoughts. Amen? Yeah, but now do those old thoughts ever creep in now and then? Yeah, they still do. But that's what the idea here is that we would renew our minds toward God, that we would make a decision that we're going to look unto the Lord to help us to become more spiritually minded. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, that verse right there, that set your affection on things above and not on the things of this world or earth. We're to keep our minds on the things of the Lord. So the Lord gives us a strategy. Keep your mind on me, and you'll begin to become more spiritual in your everyday life. I have to strive toward being spiritually minded. It doesn't come easy for me. You have to work at it. You have to determine how quickly it can be lost, right? I mean, I come home, and I'm expecting the steak dinner that my wife mentioned she was going to make, and then I find out that she didn't go get the steaks, and now we're going to be eating tuna helper. And you know what, folks? That'll test your Christianity right there. Right, Tyler? Yeah? Right? Something you're expecting is like, tuna helper. I love tuna helper. unfortunately, that's not been my response. Okay? But isn't it amazing how one thing will set you off and me as well? It puts us in a bad mood. Old fears are revisited again. Listen, brethren, we have to make, as it says there, we need to make a conscientious, good luck on the spelling, okay? A conscientious decision on a daily basis in order to serve the Lord. You have to determine. And of course, we look unto the Lord for His strength. You know, again, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That passage is right down there. Lord, I will, you know, I think if we look at this the way that we're supposed to, Lord, you know, if we go to the Lord and say, I'm going to do this, Lord, I'm going to be determined. Well, we're kind of putting ourselves in that same category when Peter says, Lord, I'll never deny you. I will never. It seems that the emphasis is on our self-will and we can do this. No, no, no. You know, I think it's a better approach to just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to come humbly. And I realize that in all my determinedness, I'll fall flat on my face. I know I will, Lord. But if you'll give me the strength, I know I can have victory. That would be the right approach. Amen? It would be the right approach because that's how God will give us victory. And so if we come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be determined. I want to be determined to allow you to do this in my life. We cannot afford to be lax about it. Let us renew our minds daily toward doing the things of God, of submitting to Him, and of doing His will. And then arm it with the Word of God. Right? Be reading the Word of God every day. Let the words of God be in your heart as you go through the day. Dwell on some verses. Write them out. Put them on your refrigerator, you know, places that you frequent quite often. You didn't catch that one, did you? You guys still haven't woken up. Yeah, see, I put it on the refrigerator because that's the place where I go very often. That's how I learn my verses best. And arm it with the Word of God. Yes, Jackie?
Sorry, what was it called?
Yes.
I missed what your next word is.
Oh, daily. Yes, on a daily basis. All right, listen, let me just stop right there because it's good to get a little interactive. I'm glad Jackie just asked for a word there, but any thoughts so far on what's being said about, you know, being renewed daily and looking to go forth in our Christian life in God's strength and not our own strength? Just a quick thought, anything?
I can do all things through Christ which
strengtheneth me. That's right, yes. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's right. Yes, Jackie.
Celebration last night, and a couple of the men who do a lot of research on statistics government issues came into their conversation. It was fascinating to listen to. But while I was listening to them, I noticed a couple of the ladies were getting more and more depressed at the conversation guys were having. And I thought, how fortunate and how blessed we are to have the hope in Christ that whatever happens here is not where we're going to be.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. What a great thought that is. Yeah, we can be above that, and the Lord will help us to do that. And then finally, this third thing is we need to renew our strength, which is really the premise of the whole thing here, renewing our strength. Let's just read this passage here in Isaiah chapter 40, and then we'll fill in some blanks and kind of finish up here. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 25 through 31 says this: "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. And he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Isn't that a great passage? They'll renew their strength. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So real quickly, let's just kind of fill in these blanks as we're finishing up here. We must realize that we did not get this supersized dose of strength when we first got saved. All right? We didn't get this incredible supersized dose of strength. We're not like some superhero that we watched on TV as a kid. They had their strength and it never wavered. But for us as Christians, we have to draw our strength from the Lord. And we see that there in that passage, that the Lord gives us strength. And then we are to learn how to obtain it from the Lord through each and every moment. I mean, it could be day or, but moment is probably even better, because we need to learn to obtain that every moment. I find myself praying many times, "Lord, give me strength, help me. Help me, give me wisdom." I find that conversation in my mind with the Lord over and over as I go through. Many of you are just nodding because you have that conversation with the Lord. "Lord, I need you. I need thy help. I will fall on my face. I'll do a face plant if you don't help me here." And the Lord is always so gracious to answer those prayers. And I just watch and I see that I come through that. I say, "Lord, that was you. Thank you." And then finally it says we must realize that we will surely fail if we try to go forward in our own strength. Folks, we'll fail. But if we'll look unto the Lord, then he'll give us strength. There was a whole lot more to be said, but I'm going to go ahead and close off with this because we're at time. Listen, I think if we'll work on just these three things right here, we'll be doing very well. Renewing our fellowship with Christ day by day. Boy, be determined that you're going to go day to day, moment by moment, keeping your thoughts on the Lord. "Lord, would you help me today? I've got a busy day, but I don't want my mind to go and get distracted and get off of the things of Christ. Help me to keep my mind on you." And then renewing our minds toward the things of God by continuing to surrender our lives to him, as Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we're this living sacrifice. "Lord, I want to give myself as a living sacrifice to you on a regular basis. Change the way I think. Help me to get into your word." And then renewing our strength, but just by learning how to wait upon the Lord, being renewed day by day. We need that, don't we? Because if we don't, we'll just peter out, and we'll fall by the wayside, and we'll get discouraged. We'll look unto the Lord. He'll give us the strength that we need from day to day. And he is just so faithful to give us everything that we need. Just like Brother Bill brought up that passage, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Let's go ahead. We'll close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for this class. We thank you, Lord, for this great truth that we're to be renewed day by day. Lord, sometimes we might go 2-3 days and be renewed, and then we get away. We find ourselves with some busy days, and we get caught up in our workload, and we get away from the things of Christ, and we begin to spiritually shrivel up. I pray you'd help us to be disciplined. Help us to call upon you regularly, though. We need you every day, and we want you to work in our hearts. We want to be renewed by your strength and by your power. We want to have this close walk with you. We want to make sure that any sin that we've committed, that, Lord, that we get it right with you and confess it. And, Lord, we pray that you'd help us now as we go from day to day. We just started this year. Help us to finish this year strong. Help us to finish strong, this new theme that we have, Lord. And then go into the next year with that same determined that we're going to start the year close to you, and we're going to end the year even closer to you. So would you help us, Lord? Help us to fight this good fight. Help us to finish our courses. Help us, Lord, to keep the faith that Paul wrote about. So we thank you and praise you. We pray you'll bless this next service in just a little bit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.